Hello, and welcome to Safari Conversations, the Singita podcast. Even though we've been around for 30 years, we're relatively new to podcasting. But we are storytellers by nature, and we've got so much to share with you. Alongside our conservation partners, we've been busy exploring and protecting Africa's wilderness. So join us as we unpack inspiring, fun, and sometimes crazy stories where you'll meet our incredible people and learn all about the special places in Africa that we call home. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, please subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes.
I am Elsa Pallett, the marketing manager of conservation, currently focusing on the Singita Lowveld Trust, which is our trust and fund that is based in South Africa. Lenki Nkuna is joining me today to engage in a conversation about our community projects, as she is a community partnerships program manager in South Africa, and we're going to be discussing the ECD program. We'll be talking about the impact of ECDs, which is early childhood development in South Africa. We support 17 ECD centers that neighbor our concessions in 11 different communities in the Greater Kruger National Park. And I'm really excited to be engaging with Lenki about this, as she is based at Singita Sabi Sand. We have invested about 4.3 million rand over the course of the program, which we have been supporting since 2017. And we're very excited to be speaking to you about this, because education is a very important pillar that we focus on. And I just wanted to start by asking Lenki, please, can you just introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about how you started your career and how you are now focused on the community programs in the local communities around our concessions?
Okay. My name is Lenki Nkuna. I am the program manager for Singita Lowveld Trust. I joined Singita in 2022 as the program manager. Love education, believe in education, and also love the communities, which is where I come from, born and raised in Justicia. And I love that Singita's focus is on early childhood development, which is the foundation and one part that we have missed as a country in general. The Department of Education never really supported the program at the beginning, or rather ECDs, but in the past 2 years we have seen them coming in to support, which is wonderful.
That's amazing. I wanted to kind of understand why you chose conservation, why you chose to work for Singita Lowveld Trust, and why you believe that the work that we are doing is so important to the local communities and the communities that you actually were raised in and grew up in and still continue to actually live there.
Well, I don't think I chose conservation per se. I think sometimes when we talk about conservation as human beings, we tend to exclude ourselves as if we are not part of, and we are true. Conservation. And conservation per se doesn't necessarily need us. We need it more than it needs us. So it's crucial that we all play our part. I started working for Singita because I have been in that space, in education space. It's just that this time the focus is more or zoomed in on early childhood development. That part excites me because it's like building the foundation, which we have never really done as a country. If it's a house, it was more like at ground, upper ground level. So to have an opportunity to work for an organization that is starting at the foundation It's exciting. So that's why I joined Singita Welfare Trust, to be able to give back in a more meaningful manner and play that part in ensuring that our foundation as a people in education is stronger.
Foundations are, very, very important. And I think what's so beautiful is that we were recently in the communities and were able to go and visit a lot of the different ECD centers, the early childhood development centers, together. And I think it would be so great to be able to walk through that a little bit with the listeners and be able to unpack that. So can you explain why Singita Welfare Trust started to invest so heavily into the ECD centers? A little bit about the background of why the Singita Welfare Trust has decided to support these 17 ECD centers.
The early childhood development space is one program or one space that has never ever been regulated by our Department of Education or our government. And majority of the early childhood centers that we have in our areas started organically, like grassroots. These were women driven by their love for children. And as Singita Welfare Trust, we saw the need to support that, because we understand that the first 1,000 days of a child's development are crucial. And we know that in order to shape their future, we needed to invest on that, because research has shown that children absorb 85% of the information that they receive. So that is 85% of their brain development that is occurring during those first 1,000 days. We believe in quality education as a trust, so it is crucial for us to focus our attention on that and play our part and make sure that these kids are ready for school and for long-term outcomes in life. That is one of the main reasons why we started, because despite its importance, this is one sector in South Africa, and especially in rural areas, that historically has been under-resourced and poorly supported.
It's so true when you spoke about the love that the ECD center managers and practitioners have, because you could see that so clearly when witnessing the ECD centers and being able to engage with these women. We did some interviews with them, and a lot of them had been there for around 20 years. And that was so beautiful to see that they were doing it from pure love. It was just something that I think you don't see very much in spaces where you're doing it for pay. But I think for them, they're doing it more than just for pay or a stipend, but rather for the fact that they genuinely believe that ECD is so important to the development of these children. So I wanted to understand a little bit around what is the work that the Singita Welfare Trust does for the ECD centers that they support.
So Singita Welfare Trust focuses on two aspects in the ECD space. We do capacity building of practitioners and center managers, assisting the practitioners on planning the daily program, classroom layout of the resources that we have procured. Are they placed nicely in the classroom and in a manner that the children will be able to access and interact with? The teaching practices, are they doing group activities? Are the practitioners observing the children, assessing them, and also reporting on their development? And when Frank visits these ECD centers, so that's what he does. So that's one area, and we call that on-site support. So every single week, Frank visits these places, and that's what he is constantly checking on and ensuring that it's happening in all the 17 centers. And we are talking about over 70 practitioners and classrooms that he has to oversee. And then the other aspect of it is the resources. So we procure learning resources, and then from furniture, tables, chairs, book corners, the actual books that are written in Shangaan, which is our mother tongue, board games and puzzles, musical instruments, so that the kids again can have fun, because children in early childhood development, they learn through play. So it is important that there are resources in place that allows them to do that. That's how we support the ECDs. It's a capacity building of practitioners and center managers, as well as procuring learning resources.
Wow, that's amazing. So from the resourcing perspective, I think a question that I actually posed to one of the practitioners while we were in the community was without the resourcing, what was it like without the resourcing? What was it like before the Sangeeta Lofar Trust started supporting that specific ECD center? And her response was that I found really interesting was that she said, firstly, the numbers were a lot less. So they were about, I think if I recall correctly, about 50 children that were at that ECD center. And now they're about 100 and something children. They would come in the morning. They would eat because they always get two meals a day. So they would eat, sleep, eat again, and then go home. And that's not children learning through play, as you just said. But with Sangeeta coming in, not only providing the resourcing, but also providing the training that the practitioners need in order to help children develop, it's changed the whole entire ECD center. So can you talk me through a little bit around the resourcing, maybe touching on the classroom setup, and how that looks like, and how is it changing these children's lives in that fundamental period of 0 to 5?
Yeah, so we have worked with local and international ECD specialists who actually gave us a list of resources to buy and how the breakdown should be. So we learned that the children need to be divided into 4 age groups. So 0 to 18, 19 to 36, 37 to 48, and 49 to 60. So for the past 5-6 years, Sangeeta has been procuring resources based on those age groups. So we started with the 0 to 18 in 2019 and then continued on. And then we did our last resource drive in 2023 with the 49 to 60 months age groups. There are certain resources that are the same when you walk into any of these ECDs. So the furniture, tables, chairs, book corners, nature table, which is where they put the theme for the week, a fantasy area, which will have a doll's court with the dolls and kiddies' play bed, a dressing table with a mirror so that the children can look at themselves. Small things like that that we forget about, that the children may not have access to a mirror that is like age appropriate. And then we also procure puzzles and board games and reading books. And all of those help to develop the children. So now Frank comes in and then he shows the practitioners how to use those resources. So gone are the days where children are sleeping, because now they are reading a story. They are playing in the fantasy corner. They are playing with outdoor resources. Whether it's your shovel and molding stuff, whether it's blocks, and whether it's musical instruments. So that's what the lady meant when she said they're no longer sleeping, because there's no reason to go to sleep. The resources are there. And not only are the resources there, but you have a person who is constantly coming in. It's not a once-off thing. Frank is there every weekday, coming in and ensuring that Are you using these resources? If you don't know how to use them, then he runs workshop constantly reminding them on how to use these resources.
I love that. I also love how when I was actually able to engage with the practitioners and center managers, experience kind of what resources the Sengitu Lofar Trust has been able to donate, they are so thought out and so they not only age appropriate, but inclusivity has been looked at. The sizing has been looked at, the exactly like you said, when which the windows were placed. Everything has been so thought out in order to make sure that contributed directly from guest donations. Can we just go through a little bit around maybe a story that you've been able to experience where Frank has really empowered one of the practitioners?
I had a story that years ago, there was a young girl at Mazinyane, which is one of the preschools that we support. I think she was blind, and they encouraged the parents to bring children, regardless of their physical disability, into the preschools. And this happened right after the UNICEF parental caregiver training. So the mother agreed, and she brought her daughter, who was blind, to Mazinyane. The practitioners have just gone through the training with Frank, and she was able to keep the child very close to her and brought learning resources to her, whether it's toys or the blocks or anything that the child could reach. And when I joined Singita in 2022, the child was actually graduating. So it got to a point where she could walk from one block of Mazinyane to another, and all the kids knew her, and she had a sister. So she could go to wherever her sister was, because a safe environment was created for her where she wasn't made to feel like an other. And it was all through the training that Frank had just done with the parents, and also the center managers and the practitioners. Hence the need for this holistic approach, that we are not only focusing on practitioners and center managers, but also on parents.
I actually remember the story about the blind child, and I think that it's truly incredible, because when hearing the story told by Frank and the practitioner, you could just see how much passion there was and how much she felt so empowered by Frank. Not only is she equipped to be able to help this child develop, even though they have a disability, but also have the resourcing. It plays such a beautiful, the holistic approach, I think, is so important. We're also going to the third layer of saying, sure, they're going to school from early in the morning until midday, but then what happens when they go home if the parents are not equipped to continue this? Because children don't develop within those 6 hours or 7 hours that they're at school. They continue to be influenced, you know, like we said, those, did you say 1,000 days are the most pivotal? So what happens when they go home? Can you tap into a little bit around that and why we decided to start with the UNICEF training the caregivers?
Just to go back to say that the child, not only would the blind child sleep, she wouldn't even have made it to the preschool, because Elsa, there's so much shame around disability in the communities. So a parent has a child who is disabled, they would rather keep the child at home. This ties in to the UNICEF parental caregiver training. It's needed because it covers a whole range of topics, and disability being one of them. And also understanding that an ECD is a safe and secure learning environment for any parent to bring their child. And with the necessary skills, training, and support, the practitioners are able to do that. And like we indicated, these are not women and men driven by, you know, money. They barely get paid. Actually, they don't get paid at all. They receive that stipend, which, I mean, it is so little, and it's shared amongst whatever number of practitioners each preschool will have. So these are people that are genuinely driven by love for the children, which is why it's important for us to support them. But also to understand, I think sometimes we forget that these practitioners themselves are also parents. As much as development doesn't start at 7 and finish at 4, same with the practitioners. You know, these are mothers who, after spending whatever amount of time in the preschool, have to go home and continue mothering their own children, whom may not necessarily have had the privilege of going to a preschool like the one that is, you know, resourced by Singita. So the UNICEF Parental Caregiver Program is so crucial because, again, like, can you imagine living in a world where grown-ups knew how to take care of children, regardless of whether you are a man or a woman? Which stereotypically in our communities is as such, if there's a child, instinctively, a mother is meant to look after the child. And not to blame anyone, but if the information is not there, you don't even know what to do, you know. But if someone is bringing this information closer to you and telling you, hey, this is how you can do better. You know, I have seen young boys in my community carrying their babies, taking them to the clinic. And then I was like, wow, this is interesting because, you know, 15 years ago, there was no such thing. So even though they may not have a job, but they are there and a child just needs love. So if we can empower those young men and women with more relevant information, of let your child go outside and play.
Yeah, I genuinely think that the parental caregiver program is going to be so impactful. And hopefully we can update our listeners on how that program goes in the future. So just to sum it up, our key focus for the last few years has been on resourcing the 17 centers. And we have successfully been able to do that. We've also been able to implement the Train the Trainer program where Frank, who is our specialist, is able to go to all ECD centers and train up the practitioners that are on the ground interacting with the children every single day. And he's doing a wonderful, wonderful job at it. He's also extremely passionate about this program and has been doing it for many years as he was a teacher beforehand. And then last but not least, we have the parental caregiver program, which we are trying to implement. I really, really like the approach that we're taking. And I think from being able to experience the ECDs with you and speak and engage with the people that are at the front line, it really does show that we are creating significant impact. And it's very heartwarming to me. How do you feel about the impact of the ECD centers on the communities?
I think maybe not only to speak about ECDs, but I think just the whole community partnerships program for me as a whole. I mean, I just love it because the purpose really is to help neighboring communities thrive socially and economically, and the two programs that Singita Lofel Trust does support, they focus on that. You know, we're not only looking at the social part of things, but also economically with the different collaborations and partnerships that we have. So it really is wonderful. But zooming in on ECDs, I think because I'm slightly older, when I think of a parent, I put myself in the picture. But the reality is today's parent has changed. These are young women, actually girls, really, teenagers. So that's who our parent is today. Girls who put their babies on the back and also their school bag. They're holding their child and their child's school bag, and both of them are walking to school. That is our reality today. And hence the need, this crucial need for this UNICEF parental caregiver program to really work so that all members of society are covered, are included in ensuring that the children are safe. So it's just wonderful to be in a space where we have a safe structures that children can go to, but not only to be babysat, but to actually learn and be curious and be interesting and ask questions. And you can see when you go to this, you say this, these kids are not shy. They will look at you, they will engage you. You know, it's just a healthy level of curiosity. It gives me hope. It's a beautiful thing to see. It gives me hope for the future, for our country, for the world.
I think what's really incredible about our focus in 2024 is that not only is this amazing initiative allowing for thousands of children to be able to have brighter futures, it's also benefiting the teachers. And I think that that is truly impactful because it gives them purpose. It gives them the ability to create change for these children, but also this new initiative within our ECD program is truly impactful. So Lenki, before we round up, because I know the time is going to be up quite soon, I just wanted to ask you, what are we focusing on for this year?
Okay, so in 2024, our focus is ensuring that the train the trainer model continues. We would like to see the practitioners who have been appointed as train the trainer actually have programs by themselves where they can plan workshops in their own centers and run those workshops without Frank telling them that, hey, go and do this workshop. We are also focusing heavily on center managers. So ECD has, in order to run a proper or a well-practiced ECD center, there are six focus areas. So there's one specific area, which is functional management. This is an area that we have realized that center managers are still behind. And that speaks to the policies, finance, documentation. So we are focusing on that as in reaching out to the different partners that we have in the area to say that we know that you understand management systems better, you understand the policies better, governance, finance, human resources. Please come and assist us with that in the centers that we support. We are fortunate in that they are ticking the right boxes. Of the 17 centers that we support, 15 of them do receive government funding on a quarterly basis. We are also looking at infrastructure and what more can we do in these centers before we move on. So do they have nice outdoor play areas? Do they have sand pits? What needs to be maintained? Do they have enough classrooms? So we're just looking at, do we know partners in the space who we can approach and say, assist us, you know, in building centers or rather additional classroom for certain centers. And such partner at the moment that we are working with is Africa Foundation, so that we can continue to tick those boxes and ensure that the centers are able to sustain themselves. So that is currently where we are. And that came about after we did an intensive monitoring and evaluation learning in 2023.
Thank you, Lenki. I completely agree with that. If this conversation interested you at all and you're coming to visit the South African properties anytime soon, we would love to host you on a community visit where you can actually experience the ECD centers that we support. Yeah. So I think seeing that we are probably out of time now, I just wanted to say thank you so much, Lenki, for having this conversation with me. I definitely learned a lot. And I really hope that you enjoyed it too.
Thank you so much, Elsa.
Thank you for listening. If you want to follow other episodes of our podcast series, Safari Conversations, please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from or on our website at singita.com.